Amen. Standing in honor of the reading of the word of the Lord, going to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, reading two verses of scripture. And the word of the Lord says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." Somebody say, "Orad." "And seek my face and turn from your neighbor's wicked ways." Right? That's how some people read that. "Turn from your wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven, will forgive your sin, and will heal your land." I like this part. "Now mine eyes, his eyes shall be open, and his ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." In this place. Why don't we lift our voices to the Lord and pray right now? Can we do that? Let's lift our voices. I know you got your Bibles in your hands. Just lift your voices. Father in heaven, we love you. Come on. Let there be a loud voice. A loud voice. Come on, apostolics, with a loud voice. Ah, God, we pray that your word would touch, would heal, would strengthen, deliver, convict, edify, bless. That your word tonight, God, would go forth and not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, do you want to say a great big thank you? Last Wednesday, Brother Marquez and Brother Ronnie so capably ministered, and I appreciate them for doing that. It's time to pray. It's time to pray, part three. I'll finish it tonight. I don't have Jonah today, and so he's alive and well. Last I checked. But prayer is a devout petition to God. It's communicating to the Lord. Now, the scripture setting, just because we may be playing catch up for some, Solomon had built the temple and he had consecrated it in our scripture setting, and he positioned himself praying before everybody in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And then the Lord answers his prayer by night and said, "I've heard your prayer." And then he begins to give him this conditional promise. And so in our home, in Pastor's home, we've had this saying for many years, that it's time to pray. We have a certain time that we pray together as a family. And I had a fish up here. His name was Jonah, in a fish tank. And I've been using this example for the last 3 weeks or so, that Jonah is good as long as he's in the water. But the moment we take him out of the water, and even if we put him in a bigger fish tank, as if there's no water in there, he's going to flop around and go to where fishes go. Somebody said in tacos, amen. And so, but as long as the fish has water, he's good. And the water is the lifeline for the fish. A fish tank with all the bells and whistles and with looking all awesome, if it has no water, it's not good for the fish. But as long as the fish is in water, the fish is okay. And I've been talking about, as water is to the fish, so is prayer to us. We need prayer. And I'm talking about our personal daily prayer life. And in fact, it was Jesus that tells us in Matthew 6 and 5, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are. Somebody say, no hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners, that they may be seen of men. But the Lord says they've received their reward. And so we've got to make sure that we have that we pray daily prayers. I know we have corporate prayer meetings. Thank you for those that have been joining with us in person and Zoom in prayer. We have pre-service prayer tonight. Thank you for the wonderful unity of pre-service prayer. But that is very powerful, but what is more powerful is when you have a daily prayer life with the Lord. In fact, the first point I want to make tonight, I got 2 points. The first point is, prayer is our secret weapon. In fact, it's Ephesians 6 and 12 that reminds us That we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'll be very transparent tonight about a couple things. I've had people ask me, Pastor, what's your secret? I've had other pastors ask me, what's your secret? And I don't have a secret except that I pray. I really don't. I'm not that good of a pastor. I'm not that good of a father, a leader, presbyter. I'm not that good. I don't say that with just trying to have a humble spirit. But one thing I can tell you is that I will talk to God, and I would rather pray than preach. Yeah. I hope that's not too transparent and prideful. But if we're not praying, everything we do is good for nothing, because we're not talking to him and he's not talking to us. I know that faith cometh by hearing with the word of God, but I'm talking about having communication with somebody that can do something about everything and everybody. It's 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch under prayer. When you break this scripture down in the New Living Translation, it says, the end of the world is coming soon, therefore be earnest, and I like this part, and disciplined in your prayers. Prayer is work, just like revival is work. Revival is work. Going to the gym takes discipline and work. Saving money, paying off debt, planning for an emergency, it all takes discipline and time. Having a healthy family or a marriage, it takes time and it takes work. Going to school and studying and graduating, it takes discipline and time. And there's distractions and there's always other things to do. But it's the same thing in the spiritual. But in order for us to have a healthy spiritual relationship with the Lord, you and I must pray. It's Matthew 26:41 that says, "The watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh," somebody say, "my flesh is weak," that you enter not into temptation. It means that temptation is not going to be around or be available, but it's that you don't enter into temptation. And when it says to watch, it's that you not be taken unaware, but that you're paying attention. You ever tell somebody, hey, watch out for him. Hey, watch out for a good deal. Right? And so you're paying attention for something. There's the scripture tells us in Matthew 6:13, and it's part of the Lord's Prayer, which I'll cover some of this as we go on. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, or the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a unique difference between talent and anointing. It's called prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray. Luke 11:1 said, teach us how to pray. And I find it very, very interesting that as he was praying in a certain place, when he finished, this will make sense here in a little while, his disciples come and said, teach us to pray. They didn't ask Jesus, and I mentioned this some time back, they didn't ask him, Jesus, teach us how to sermonize. How do we speak to the multitudes? They didn't ask him how to preach. They didn't ask him how to love. They didn't ask him how to deal with people. But they asked him, teach us to pray. I know that this is a church that prays together, but are you praying outside of the church? Well, Pastor, I pray for my food. Well, that's a great start. But do you have a time of prayer? The difference between having the Holy Ghost and walking in the Holy Ghost is prayer. Prayer is personal, but yet it's so powerful. Jesus gave us an outline of prayer, which I'll mention from time to time in reference specifically from Matthew 6. I won't go into it in totality. But does anybody here want to be alive spiritually? You don't want to be like the fish flopping, right? You know what the secret is? Just pray. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that go to church more than you and I. My grandmother goes to church more than I do. She preached to me today. But everything she was telling me couldn't be found in her Bible. And there's a lot of folks that are very religious, very devout, committed, and disciplined, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. You know, prayer is private, but God could use it to publicly display or expose some things. Notice this, Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And he that thy Father which is in secret will reward thee openly. In prayer, I know this is not very profound, it's very simplistic, but in prayer, we talk, he listens, and believe it or not, he'll talk to you. And sometimes he answers by fire. Amen. Many times he answers and doors open and close and nobody knows about it but us. It's a connection that we all have regardless. But prayer is not exclusive. James 5:16 tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice this. Listen to Pastor. Prayer is not even your defense. The shield of faith takes care of that.
Yeah.
Right? Ephesians 6 tells us, right? Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. But prayer is our lifeline of communication to the Lord and our relationship with the Lord. The fish will flop around if we pull him out of the water. And some of you are flopping around because you're not connected to the lifeline of a relationship with the Lord because you have stopped talking to him. I'm talking to you from the Word of God, but you're not talking to him. It's a one-sided conversation, a relationship to the Lord. Be on fire on Sunday, and by Tuesday you're ready to quit because you've lost the spiritual shot in the arm that you got from Sunday. It doesn't take long to get frustrated and critical and offended, and it don't take long to get bitter or jealous, or it don't take long to let those old gossiping ways creep up if you're not praying. But when you're praying, it's like you have a secret weapon. You can go to Walmart, wave at people because you prayed. I didn't give this to them, but I do want to make reference to it. It's very powerful that in 2 Kings, if you're taking notes, 2 Kings, specifically chapter 19 and verse 20, Hezekiah received some bad news. And right around verse 14, he takes that letter that was written to him. He received a letter of bad news. It was a threatening letter. Somebody wrote a threatening letter to the king. You know what he did? He didn't go call the army and say, get ready to go march. And he didn't stand on the street corner and tell everybody what took place. 2 Kings chapter 19, right around verse 14, he takes that letter and he shows it to the Lord. And right around verse 15, the scripture says, and he prays and he talks to the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord sent one angel. This is how bad the angel of the Lord is. He sent one angel into the enemy camp as a response to the prayer of the man of God that prayed. And one angel destroyed 185,000 enemy troops. One angel. You talk about a secret weapon? Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. You can whisper a prayer before you go into a business meeting. And the Lord will give you the wisdom of what not to say. And they'll say it all for you. And all you got to do is sign on the dotted line. To God be the glory. You can go to bed with assurance at night. Say the Lord has got your best interest in mind. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 43, notices that the Lord has set us apart. That, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. First part is you need to be godly or righteous. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. But notice verse 8. It gets better. I will both lay me down in peace, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I like it when the proverb writers tells us, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make it his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, that prayer isn't just to put the devil back in his place. Because we're reminded of something, that he is under our feet, right? That's where he belongs. He is under us. He is below us. The devil is a defeated foe. He's defeated. He's a loser. You want to call somebody a loser? The devil is a loser. And it gets worse. He's a liar. He's the father of the lies. I've been saying this for a couple weeks, but maybe the Lord's got to get it to somebody. Said, the language of the devil is lies. The trick of the enemy is deception. The mathematic strategy of the enemy is division. But God is love, rich in mercy, able and willing to forgive. He adds, he multiplies, he provides. That's the God that we serve. That's why the scripture tells us in Luke 10 and 19, I give unto you power over all the enemy. Right? No, it says you got power over the enemy and over his power. Amen. You got double power. Amen. You got a secret weapon in prayer, and you got the Holy Ghost, and you got your brothers and sisters that are with you. The scripture tells us, if God be for me, who can be against you? You got a secret weapon. Amen. Yeah, he may try to fool you. He may try to bluff you, paint a good picture, entice you. He may trip you. He definitely will try to accuse you. But he's defeated. He always has been and always will be. And then we see in 2 Kings chapter 20, I did not give that to them as well. But Hezekiah received some more bad news. In fact, the news that came to him was pretty direct. It said, you need to set your house in order. You better make things right. Well, I'm talking to somebody. And so Nehemiah turns his face to the wall, and he begins to pray. And then the Lord answers his prayer and restores to him 15 years of his life. The Lord gave him another 15 years to his life. You talk about power in prayer. When James 4 and 7 says, submit yourself there to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You got to understand that I know we pray, and we're praying against things, but we have the power and the victory over the enemy. We always have, and we always will. When was the last time you asked somebody for something and they told you, give me a call or I can help you, or they give you their business card, for those that still hand business cards out, and you called and maybe you didn't get the response that you expected or anticipated, or you got nothing? It's not that way with the Lord. Bible tells us in Luke 11 and 9, the word of the Lord says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. I want you to write this down. Ask with confidence and humility. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of the Lord. When you're seeking, seek with care. Scripture says, seek and you'll find me if you shall search for me with all of your heart. And then we got to knock.
Yeah.
Got to knock until the door opens. You got to knock. You got to have some perseverance. God, I told Sister Pinero the other day, we ran into somebody and I said, man, she never let that dude go. But man, we let some things go in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
We'll fight to keep a relationship. You know, you're like a bad breakup. You know, you just say, oh no, that's my man forever. You know, you just till death do us part is the way it should be. But in the natural world, we'll fight for some stuff that don't even matter. People fighting for territory, fighting for neighborhoods, fighting for a sidewalk. None of that matters. But you'll fight. You'll be loyal. You're my ride and die. But you get in the spirit realm and you have no backbone. You just give up for the first time. You hit a speed bump. The devil is a liar. It's time for you to remember what God can do and never underestimate the power of prayer. Bible says in Acts 1 and 14 that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They continued in prayer. Acts 2 and 42 tells us they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Notice the very end. And in prayers. They prayed. It's doctrine. We need a doctrine. The mighty God in Christ Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in us all. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We are apostolic, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That we're living a holy, separate life. We are come out from among them and be separate. We're not going to put things in front of our eyes and our ears and our minds that's going to defile us. We want clean hands and a pure heart. That is the doctrine. We are, you except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But we also have got to be a people that pray.
Amen.
Acts 4 and 31 tells us, and when they had prayed,
the
place was shaken. Romans 12 and 12 says, continuing instant in prayer. It's not just praying, but it's being faithful in praying. The more you pray, the more you pray. The more you get in alignment with the will of God, the more you cleanse yourself from yourself. The more you pray, the more you'll change and or your perspective will change.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
What Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 and 11, give us this day our daily bread. We need daily personal devotion with the Lord. Matthew 6 and 12, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's hard to do when you're not praying. It's hard to forgive people when you're not praying. You want to be vindictive. Oh, I'll buy something bigger and not invite everyone over, and you won't get an invitation on purpose. Become vindictive, right? But when you pray, you'll forgive people that never said, I'm sorry. Never get an apology. We say, I forgive them. Somebody say, it's time to pray. Jude 1 and 20 tells us, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Point two tonight is prayer time needs to be an unbreakable appointment. I looked up the definition of unbreakable, and it says, not able to be broken. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I was probably about 11 years old. Anybody here is 11 years old? All right, Elijah, the birthday man himself, had a birthday yesterday. God bless Carson, had a birthday yesterday. 11. I remember playing Little League Baseball and being the catcher of my team. I was okay, I guess. I was actually good enough to be nominated for the All-Star team. And, of course, they put the biggest guy behind the plate, and so it made it hard for people to score because I just blocked the plate when they tried to come in. And But I remember the agreement we had, Brother Drozic. It was very understood with the coach and myself and my parents that I could play ball as long as practices and games didn't interfere with church. Church was number one. And I remember that's anybody believe that's still appropriate? And I remember, so we had midweek service Wednesday nights, went to church twice on Sunday. And now I remember, this is back when I was 11 years old, so this was not in the back in the good old days, but it was definitely back in the day. And my dad decided to have revival. And so I had a game on a Thursday night, and we had revival on Thursday night. And so my dad was in it was still a smaller church, rented a building. And my dad, he was custom was he'd pray in the bedroom, and it was game time. It's time to be at the ball field, and I knew, well, hey, church came first, and there came a knock on the door, and I opened the door, and it was the coach, and all my nosy friends out front. We lived in a small town. I mean, it was, you know, we didn't have a Kmart back then, and Walmart didn't come for a while. It was a town of about 13,000 people. It was what I would call one cow town back then, you know. And my dad's been pastor there for a long time now, 34 years. And so it was a small town. And so, you know, kids are kids, you know, you're nosy at that age. And so he says... He says, Panero, they call me by my last name. He says, you know, we have a ball game today. Like, you're supposed to be out there right now. Why aren't you out in the field? And my chubby little face, I look at him, I said, because I have church. He said, it's Thursday. Church was yesterday. I said, well, we're having church tonight too. He said, let me talk to your dad. I said, he's praying. And I closed the door. True story.
Amen.
And he said, knocked again. He said, hey, Panero, let me talk to your dad. I said, he's praying. And I closed the door. Well, you got... My mom's comes out and... and she's like, what's going on? I said, well, coach is there. Want to know, you know, why he wants to talk to Pai, which is dad in Portuguese. I said, but he's praying. And so she goes to the door and says, sorry, you know, we got church tonight. You know, Jesse's not playing today. And he drove off and took off. But I knew that when my dad was praying, that was an unbreakable appointment. It didn't matter if the coach was there. I wanted to talk to my dad. You'd have to wait to talk to him. So I say that to tell us that there are some appointments that need to be unbreakable in our lives. Come on, somebody. And prayer time needs to be an unbreakable appointment. I mean, seriously, there is nobody more important to talk to than the one that's pumping the oxygen in our... It's his breath in our lungs. So get up earlier. Stay up later. You do it to watch a movie. I'm coming for you. Finish the chores tomorrow. Reschedule everything else. But let your prayer time be an unbreakable appointment. Daniel tells us in Daniel 6 and 10, I'm reading for the New Living Translation, but Daniel went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day. Notice this, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Daniel had a set place and time to pray. I want to help somebody tonight. Because we've learned about stewardship of time, right? You can never use that excuse.
No.
We all have time. We all have got the same amount of time as everyone else in the world. Put the phone on, do not disturb, shut it off, and go sit in the car or the garage or the backyard and pray. Talk to Jesus. Luke 5 and 15 says, "So much the more went there a fame abroad of him, of Jesus, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." We are like sponges, right? We can only squeeze out what we have on the inside. Do not give your career, your business, your hobbies. Don't give the boss the best part of you. Amen. The best hours of your day, your full energy and alertness, and then give the Lord the leftovers.
That is so good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just saying.
Amen.
Luke 5 and 15 says, he was so famous, and great multitudes came together to hear him. Jesus was ministering, but yet he stopped. And Luke 5 and 16 says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." I don't know anybody here that has an entourage following you, waiting for you outside. But if Jesus could stop and withdraw himself and go pray, I think we can. You either need to manage the day, or the day will manage you. Some prayers and promises are conditional. If my people, which are called by my name, would pray. Prayer is more powerful than working hard. Prayer is more powerful than working overtime. It's more powerful than what you know or who you know. Prayer is more powerful than any force on earth. Right?
Amen.
Hannah prayed and the Lord opened up her womb. We ought never to allow what's going on in the world or our world hinder us from talking to the Lord. Never, never. Your faith should be not just public, but your faith should also be private. Your spiritual character is only going to be as strong as your prayer life.
Right.
Prayer is how you march in the battle, and prayer is how you get through the battle.
Yep.
David prayed. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord answered his prayer and told him to pursue, and you will recover all.
Yep.
But had David not prayed, I believe, based off of the scripture setting, those men would have stoned him to death. If he would not have encouraged himself in the Lord, those men would have stoned himself to death. It's something about a man or a woman of God that stops and say, you know what? I see what's going on. I've tried my last here. I've tried over things that are gone, that are not. I've tried over 2020, and 2020 and Sunday night services are not coming back. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to find the will of God, and I'm going to pursue, and I'm going to recover all and then some. Somebody say it's time to pray. So I have a challenge for everyone tonight. Anybody like a challenge? If you would commit to 15 minutes of daily uninterrupted prayer time between now and Christmas. Some of you are saying, oh, that's easy. I'll just pray for all the Christmas presents I want. But you got to pick a time and place and pray. Watch what God will do if you actually spend 15 minutes of uninterrupted time every day with the Lord. Watch what he would do. But I would encourage you to write down some things that you need God to do, and then write down and testify, mark off what God has done. Prayer journal. Some of you journal. You have a diary. Well, this is an opportunity for you to write down some prayer requests and then go back and testify about what the Lord did, how he did it, and when he did it. Because it's for you. It's about you and your conversation and your talk with the Lord. Join us on Thursday night prayer. tomorrow in person, live. Amen. And we're on Zoom. But have a prayer partner. Have somebody that you can pray for and pray with. Amen. But more than that, you pray every day and you talk to the Lord about anything and everything, and you will see what God will do. Somebody say it's time to pray. Can we lift our hands right now unto the Lord?